You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday the 30th of September 2020 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, we had the presidential debate last night between Donald Trump and Joe Biden and I've caught some bits of it on the news and I have to say Joe Biden does look extremely senile, fumbling his words, unsure of what he is saying. Of course, the mainstream media are portraying this as if it was a great win for Joe Biden. They're pointing out that Donald Trump supported the Proud Boys. And this is a good example of the way that the mainstream media twists things. Donald Trump wasn't supporting the Proud Boys there. He was condemning them. He asked the debate moderator to name some names so that he could condemn them. And he said the Proud Boys, and Donald Trump said to the Proud Boys, stand down and stand by. That's not encouraging them. That's telling them to stand down. And I thought it was very good of him to hammer the point home that it's Antifa and the extreme left that are causing all the violence, nothing to do with so-called white supremacists. But that isn't really what I wanted to talk about today. I want to get into some of the things that we can do as nationalists to improve the situation that we are in. After I did the series last week on the introduction to nationalism, explaining some of the ways that we feel as nationalists, some of the things that concern us, why we are the way that we are, I didn't really talk about ways that we can mitigate the problems that we have. And of course, these problems are mainly created by ourselves, by importing foreign races into our country, by giving foreign races equal rights to us, letting them have a say in our laws, letting them vote, letting them own the media, and giving the vote to women as well, obviously, because they think emotionally rather than logically, and this has affected the politics of the day. People are appealing to women rather than appealing to logic. So what are some of the ways that we can fight back against this? Well, we've looked in the past. If we look at the past and if we look at nationalist organizations, what have they done in the past? They've held marches, they've held protests. Has this achieved anything? No, it hasn't. A lot of people have lost faith and given up on nationalism after putting everything that they had into groups such as the BNP, only to see it all fall apart. And what happens when you go on a protest? Well, you go there and you shout, and Antifa are there, and the far left are there, and they are there all taking photographs of the nationalists that are there at the protest, and they then publish the pictures of the nationalists alongside slanders, calling us racists, white supremacists, neo-Nazis, doing everything they can to smear us. Then they try to find out who the person is that's in the pictures, and they will go to the employer of the person in the pictures, and they'll tell the employer that if he continues to employ that person, then he will be labelled as a supporter of racism, a supporter of neo-Nazis, etc., etc., and the person will probably end up losing their job. And what are the positive side to this, to the protests? Have these protests, demonstrations, have they ever achieved anything? Have they ever succeeded in stopping a mosque from being built? Well, I'm not aware that they have ever stopped a mosque from being built. The way to stop mosques being built is to do it legally, to get Gavin Bobie involved, the solicitor that looks for ways that you can look into council regulations and such like, and traffic regulations, noise regulations, in order to get these things stopped. The demonstrations don't actually do that. What demonstrations do is they allow people to blow off steam. It allows people to feel that they have achieved something. They've put everything into it. They've arranged the day. They got everybody together to go there. They had a march. They shouted a lot. They let off steam. They can go and have a drink in the pub afterwards and feel like they've really done something for the cause. But in actual fact, they haven't achieved anything at all. They may get themselves into the newspapers. And how will the newspapers cover it? Well, the newspapers will look for any trouble that they can find. And of course, there will be trouble because the far left will be there. They will be throwing things at the nationalists, goading the nationalists, beating the nationalists up if they manage to find any of them on their own or on their way to the train station afterwards. And this will all get reported in the newspapers as violent nationalist protest. The protest was attended by violence, and at the nationalist protest, such and such a number were arrested. And of course, the newspapers won't tell you the numbers of those arrested that were Antifa. They won't tell you that the nationalists were just acting in self-defense. They will just portray it as a violent protest. We saw this particularly with the defense of the statues recently. Black Lives Matter were attacking the statues in London. And there was a call from the civic nationalists to go there and defend them. And of course, ethno-nationalists were saying, don't go. Do not go. This is a trap. It will be portrayed as nationalist thugs going there for a fight with Black Lives Matter. And sure enough, that's what happened. And Priti Patel was calling the people that went thugs. There was violence. There was lots of pictures of violence. And once again, nationalists just end up looking very, very bad to the general population. The general population looks at those newspapers and they don't think, wow, I really want to go on one of those demonstrations. They think, I want to avoid that. Why have we not got more sensible people advocating for us? Why is it always these drunken louts that are talking about the matters that we are concerned about as Indigenous British people? So I don't think demonstrations and protests are a good thing. It may be that it is worth going along to these huge anti-lockdown protests and talking to people there from the nationalist point of view, possibly trying to get the name of your organization out there. I think the New British Union did very well when they went to the COVID protests and they held up their British Union of Fascists flag, and that got photographed by the mainstream media and it got them lots and lots of attention. So that worked well. And also because there was the big crowd there, there was less chance of them being attacked by the Antifa. What you have to think about if you're holding a demonstration is, what about the safety of the people that you are encouraging to go there? Are they likely to be arrested by the police for anything? And what we've seen recently, we've seen quite a lot of Britain First activists being arrested for either going on protests or for going to hotels and harassing the fake refugees. So you have to think about your members, and you have to think about their safety as far as being arrested is concerned. And you also have to think about their safety as far as interactions with the left are concerned. And the left are going to be, they're not looking to have a debate. The left and Antifa are just looking for people that they can physically attack and intimidate. Everything about Antifa is intimidation, from their slogans such as smash the fash to their glorification when anybody on the right is injured or hurt. Particularly in America, we saw this recently with Black Lives Matter saying that they were glad that a fascist had been killed at some of these protests. So you've got to watch out for the violence there. I don't think these protests succeed in anything at all apart from giving people a sense of actually having done something. And then, of course, the question is, well, what can we do? We do have to be doing something. And I think what we should be doing is community building. We should be getting together with other nationalists and going on walks in the country and litter picking, getting together with other nationalists and helping out the homeless, going on when they have these heritage days, when you see reenactments of historical events in our past. We should be going along to these things with other nationalists and making it clear who we are and what organization that we are with. And when that gets portrayed in the newspapers, they're not going to be able to portray us as being bad or violent. They're just going to be able to say, oh, these neo-Nazis went along to a reenactment of the Battle of Hastings or whatever. How can they portray that in a bad way without making themselves look bad? It's the same when you go on a charity drive with the homeless and you're going to help the white homeless. How can they make that look bad without making themselves look bad for condemning this? Just another point as well on these protests, and this is something that happened quite recently as well. In Pennally in Wales, they've imported 270 fake refugees into a military barracks. And of course, I'm calling them fake refugees because there's no war in France, which is where they have come from. There may be problems in Syria or Africa where they're from, but they haven't claimed asylum in the nearest country to where they are from. They've travelled across at least 10 different countries to get to Britain, which they see as an easy target for the National Health Service, the education, the benefits payments that they're going to get. They know that they're going to get put up in a hotel if they try to invade across the channel. Well, now they're being put in these military barracks. And of course, this has really upset the villagers, and the villagers are all elderly. They're all retired people. I think there's about 700 people in the village. There was no consultation with the councillors, no consultation with the villagers. They were just told that these fake refugees were going to be inserted into their community, and not to worry because they weren't going to be locked into the camp. They would be free to wander about, as if that is going to ease people's concerns about this. So, of course, the people there were very upset about this, and their political representation was very upset about this. The National Wales politicians have complained about this and said that this is not on. What is Priti Patel doing by doing this? And, of course, if that was all that had happened, the mainstream media would not have been able to portray these people as racists or far right or anything like that. But unfortunately, we then had the Little Veteran and various other civic nationalists that descended on this village for a protest. And of course, he'd be marching around with their megaphones, shouting and swearing into it, generally giving a bad impression of what nationalists are. And these villagers were pretty horrified at this. Of course, the civic nationalists look at it as, well, we are going there to give them our support. We want to go there and say, we support you. But it doesn't get taken in that way by the villagers there. The villagers there just end up thinking, these towny thugs have descended upon us because they want to take over our cause and use it to promote their own cause. So that doesn't bring anybody to the side of nationalism. That basically turns the villagers off from our politics, rather than them discovering that this is going on all over the place. It's not just happening in their area in Wales. And it also means that the mainstream media can then portray everybody that is protesting against this as being far-right thugs, because there were far-right thugs there that weren't actually from the area. So it just gives the mainstream media a stick to beat the villagers there, who quite rightly have reason to be upset about this and wanted to protest about it. But now, when they try to protest about it, they can be smeared. And they can be smeared because people like the Little Veteran went there And I'm not saying that the villagers are right and that he was doing this in order to hijack the cause, because I don't think that's true at all. He was going there to try and show his support for the villagers. But that's not the way that it gets taken when this happens. The same thing happened with Rotherham. After the 1,400 girls were exposed as being raped by these grooming gangs, lots of nationalists went to Rotherham to show their support, to say we're on the side of the victims. And it didn't get accepted in that way at all. The people of Rotherham were not happy about these outsiders coming in. They saw it as the far right trying to take over their cause. Of course, they're wrong in thinking that, because the people that went there were trying to show support. But that's not the way that it gets taken. And it's not the way that it gets portrayed in the mainstream media. So it doesn't do us any good, as I say, because it just means that you're likely to get doxxed by the Antifa. There's likely to be a violent altercation with them. And it doesn't do the people there any good, because they can then be smeared as far right, because there are these people there that are from outside the area that may be linked with Tommy Robinson or what have you. And it doesn't actually prevent whatever it is that people were wanting to prevent. We still have the grooming gang problem. The protest there didn't do any help at all. It just alienated the victims that are there, the same as these protests at Penally has alienated the villagers there. Then, of course, you also get the extreme left that have gone to this demonstration, but from outside of the area. And that gives a false impression. The mainstream media are able to give a false impression that the people there are all welcoming of this invasion into their community, because there are people there with refugees welcome signs and all the rest of it. And of course, they are from out of the area as well. And they wouldn't have been able to do that if it had just been the villagers themselves protesting. So whichever way you look at it, it is just negative. So again, to get back to the sort of things that we can be doing, we should be community building, and we should be talking to people about our heritage, doing things such as Patriotic Alternative are doing when they hold hikes and camps and conferences and days out, and just community building days out. People in Britain, particularly young people, are desperate to find good people that they can hang out with, that they can do things with. We are naturally good people, but in the cities, we are surrounded by degenerate types. And when you have multicultural areas, it's very hard not to become degenerate just in order to deal with the problems that you see around you. Particularly in London, you've got people that feel that they have to carry weapons around with them just in case they get attacked, that sort of thing. Which means that you're really, you know, not much better than the gangs that are there. They're going around with the weapons as well. You may say you've only got it for defence. Well, these gangs will say that they've only got it for defence as well. You've also got all the drugs that are associated with in these inner cities. And a lot of people want to get away from that. They want to get away from the drugs, but they can't, because all the people they know are involved in it. And as nationalists, we can provide communities that are drug-free. And if people want to get away from that lifestyle, then they should be able to throw themselves into a nationalist community and make new friends and know that they're not going to get offered weed, or they're not going to get offered cocaine or what have you. And that is the sort of thing that goes on in these civic nationalists when they have their civic nationalist demonstrations. There's a lot of stimulant taking that goes on. There's a lot of weed smoking. I mean, quite a few of these new civic nationalists that have popped up recently seem to be very laissez-faire over their use of drugs. And as ethno-nationalists, we should be completely against that. And we should be providing a sanctuary from that, where people can go and they know they're going to be around other morally upstanding people. Families as well. There are a lot of nationalist families now, and they're worried that if they send their children on play dates or to school or whatever, it's going to be multicultural and the children are going to be indoctrinated. So we need to be building up communities where families can get together with other families and do family things, going on picnics, safe picnics, that where you know that everybody that on the picnic is a nationalist and the kids can make friends with other kids. These are the sort of things that we need to be doing. We need to be living as if we are in an occupied country. And we need to be keeping our traditions together, keeping our heritage alive. And the way that we do that is by meeting up with other nationalists and talking about these things. Maybe going along to history talks by people that are talking about things to do with British history. That would be another good thing to do. Morris dancing, the horn dance, Padstow, Obios. I mean, how about organizing a day trip to Padstow on May Day to see the Obios? There are all these old British traditions that need support, and the support for them is failing. And as nationalists, we need to be the ones that go there and show that this is what we support. We're not just against multiculturalism. We are pro our own people, and we need to show that we are pro our own people. And when you think about it, protests are a reaction. They are a reaction to something that the government have done. And it is far better to be proactive. And what we will see then is we will see that the mainstream media are the ones that are reacting to us. We will be the ones that are taking the steps, making the moves, and the mainstream media will be the ones reacting. And when they react to us, they will show themselves up for being the anti-white deceivers that they are, because they won't be able to portray us in a negative light. Again, when we interact with the public, if we are out on these activity days out, when we interact with the public, we need to be on our absolute very best behavior. So that if there are any smear pieces that come out in the mainstream media, again, this will wake the people up, because they will say, well, that wasn't what I experienced. These people were extremely courteous. They were extremely polite. They seemed very interested in our local traditions, in our local folklore. And we would love to have them here again. And what does this say about the mainstream media? Well, it says that we can't trust the mainstream media. So it's going to be a positive win for us. And when we do this, more nationalists will come to our cause, particularly Patriotic Alternative. There are a lot of really good people that are involved with Patriotic Alternative. And I think the more days out that they can arrange, the more people will want to join that. Because if you see people going on a demonstration, maybe the football crowd might want to go along to that. But people that are concerned about multiculturalism, that hear that there is this group and they have these heritage days out, these folklore days out, learning days out, learning about the country and networking with other people that love their heritage and are proud to be British, people are going to go along to that, and you're going to get the best type of people that go along to that rather than the worst type of people. I mean, it is unfortunate the way that nationalists get smeared in the mainstream media, but we have to understand and accept that some of it is true. Now, the Northwest Front in America, they folded recently, and I recommend people listen to that last podcast, if it is still available, that Andy Donner made, and he gave his reasons for why the organization was failing and why he would no longer be calling himself a white nationalist. He did not want to be associated with nationalism any longer, because there are so many fools that are involved in it, doing foolish things and making the rest of us look bad. I mean, it is a sad state of affairs, but white nationalism, the word itself, has really been smeared, particularly since Brenton Tarrant attacked that mosque in New Zealand. And after that, they said, well, white nationalist just means the same thing as white supremacist. And this is the official definition of the word, is now the same as white supremacist. And Facebook and Wikipedia and the rest of them have all said, well, that's extremism. That's linked with violence. And then when people see the conversation of people that self-identify as white nationalists, a lot of the time they will see racial slurs. They will see the glorification of violence and support for violence. And it makes the rest of us look really bad. And, you know, I would say I am a nationalist. I am a British nationalist. But being a nationalist implies that you are concerned about other nations as well, particularly the nations that are closest to you ethnically. And when I see nationalists doing well in places like Hungary or Slovakia or Poland, then I will celebrate in that success, and I will share in that success and in that celebration that nationalists are doing well. And when I see horrific things happening in places like France or like Sweden, then I will share in the sorrow of those nations at the horrific things that are being done for them. And if I can help them out in any way, at Radio Albion, then I will help them out in any way. And I think that's the way that nationalists need to be. I mean, part of the audio insurgency I do, part of the music show that I do here at Radio Albion, is an appreciation of all the different styles of music that the European nations create, and the racial soul that we have is unique to each nation, and that finds its expression in these different forms of music, these different styles of singing. And I hope that that brings a wider appreciation of our European family of nations for its listeners. And leading on from this, when you form these relationships with other nationalists that are in other countries, then you can form trips to go over and see these other nationalists and see that they are just like us. They have the same courteousness, the same love of their people. It's like a brotherhood. It's like a family that you join when you become a nationalist, when you realize these truths. Unfortunately, because of the problems that we have at the moment with the coronavirus, that is putting a stop to a lot of this. And we can't have these days out where we get together and go on a picnic or go on a litter pick or what have you. And we can't go abroad to a conference and meet other nationalists. So the best way that we can deal with the situation that we are in at the moment, I think, is through content production online. And if you're not able to produce the content, then help with sharing the content. Share Radio Albion with people that you think might be receptive to it. Don't share it with people that you think won't like it. Don't share it out of spite at all. Share it with people that you think will appreciate what we do here. As nationalists, we are very creative. As white people, we are very, very creative. I was just thinking this the other day. So many white musicians are making music. We have so many white video producers that are producing videos. We have so many excellent hosts and presenters that are doing live streaming. And it's all an expression of our racial soul. As white people, that is what we do. We create. We don't destroy. And we can take advantage of these lockdowns and the more time that we are spending at home to work on producing the very best content that we can, the very best videos that we can, the very best podcasts, the very best music, because this is all a part of our counterculture. And we do have the only authentic counterculture. All the other ones are sponsored by corporations, all the different music genres or sport or what have you. We have a genuine counterculture here that cannot be taken over by oligarchic interests, because it is based upon our ethnicity. So that's one the main way I think we can continue to push for our cause at the moment while we're unable to meet up, is just by sharing content and producing content. And once these coronavirus restrictions are lifted, I would like to see more activities, not so much activism as activities, proactive activities, going to folklore events, going to reenactments, going to museums and learning about our past. And also, if you're doing things like that, the Antifa can't come along and attack you when you're going for a day out at a museum without looking absolutely terrible. And doing these things will produce bonds between us. It will be community building. It will look good when the mainstream media attack us, and we'll be learning more about our heritage, and we'll be in a better position to transfer that knowledge to the next generations, which is what it's all about being a nationalist. It's all about doing what you can for the following generations. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.